The other principle, which is an important one, is the principle of head and heart giving. The principle of head and heart giving. Some of you certainly understand the idea of the tithe, and we talked about that and this idea of giving a tenth. But the Bible speaks of tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings. But for many Christians, what offerings are just means robbing the tithe. So in other words, so they'll have a tenth, so they'll take that and they'll say they'll normally be giving that in one direction, and suddenly they'll hear about another need and they'll suddenly just redirect some of that giving over here. Now, I've seen it very visibly as a pastor. I remember when the tsunami hit, that morning we took an offering for the tsunami. And what a lot of people did is they had their check ready for church. And so what they did is they just quickly wrote in the memo, tsunami. So they looked like they were generous. So we, you know, we collected $10,000, but our offering was down $8,000. So it wasn't an offering at all. And if you ever heard the phrase, robbing Peter to pay Paul, anyone ever heard that phrase? Do you know what that means? That means robbing the church, Peter, to pay Paul, the missionary. Robbing Peter to pay Paul means robbing the church to pay the missionary. That's really where that comes from. What I've had to learn over time is there really are two distinct things going on, tithes and offerings. One is very head-based, and one is very heart-based. One is very systematic, and one is very spontaneous. So I believe both are necessary. There's a lot of Christians that kind of lock themselves into legalism, and they kind of figure out exactly what they're going to give, and they do that, which is a good thing to do, but then they never vary from that. I mean, God can never move their heart because they're like, well, we give what we give, and that's all we give. So they kind of lock in, and they're grateful for what they lock into, and it's good that they give that, but they don't ever move over to the heart side. Now, there's other people that don't ever give anything systematically, and they're just, well, I give as God leads, okay? And sometimes God seems to leave very little in their life because they don't give a lot, all right? But it's really a combination of both. There is a place to very intentionally, mentally think about what percentage in particular are we going to give? What percentage are we going to give to the Lord? And that you come up with a way in your notes and in your bookkeeping and in however you manage your finances, electronic giving, whatever you use, that you very faithfully, very consistently are faithful with your giving to the Lord. That you don't commingle God's funds with your everyday spending. You really separate that out systematically using your head, using a plan, and then learning to faithfully give. But on the other hand, always be open to the move of the Spirit of God. Always be open to God saying, you know what you have, I want you to give it away. I want you to give it to that person in need. I want you to give this particular person money. I want you to do something for somebody over here. And be very, very willing always to have your heart moved by God. Listen to what it says in Exodus 35:21. This is the tabernacle was being built. It says, everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, for all its service and for sacred garments. All who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, and ornaments. So, you know, men having earrings is not a new thing. It's kind of an old thing, actually. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. This was heart giving. This was where if their heart moved them, their heart stirred that they gave. And so there's just a real place to have a systematic plan in your life to faithfully give to the Lord, but always keep your heart and your possessions open-handed to the Lord, that at any time he could lead you. As I told you today, he led me, give your car away. Okay, that wasn't a systematic head decision. That was a spontaneous heart decision, God prompting me to do that. In my life at different times, the Lord's told me to give someone money. He's told me to give someone possessions. He's told me to do different things, but it's just being open to the Lord and open to your heart. One thing I will say about heart giving will be bigger than your mind can sometimes imagine. Sometimes God will prompt you in your heart to give something that's bigger than your head can get around. I remember when I was at Elmbrook a number of years ago, they had a faith promise. I don't know if they still do that. But they had a faith promise program for missions. And I was new out of college. I had a job. Didn't have a lot of money. I had more month than money. I had debt at the time. And they had a take a faith promise kind of a pledge. And so I prayed about what number I should put down. And the Lord told me to put down $750. That's what I was prompted to put down. $750. I put that number down, and as the year went by, I kind of, you know, I gave regularly to the church, but I kind of gave towards missions as I had a little extra money. I was coming to the end of the year, and I called the church office in Elmbrook, and I said, you know what, where am I at on my faith promise? And they said, you're at about $250. And it was like a week left, or a few days left. And I went, oh, man, I really wanted to fulfill that, but I didn't have any money on me. You know, I actually talked to my pastor at the time, Chris Thomas. I said, you know, what do I do here? I made this faith promise, and intended to give it, and I wanted to give it. And he said, well, you know, God prompted you to do that, but if God doesn't provide, then let it go. Don't worry about it. You know, there's other monies that come in from other sources, and if God didn't give it, then don't worry about it. So, all right. So that's, I was kind of thinking that. Well, anyway, that week I got a call from the president, Bill Eisner, where I worked over at Eisner Advertising, and Bill called me to the office, and I was heading up a new division for him, and I was a salesman, and I had been working for him for about 11 months. And that particular week he called me into the office, and he said, Brian, I have something for you, and he gave me an envelope. I kind of felt like the Mike Lavoti story, if you remember that story of the guy from Patrick Cuddy. Kind of felt like Mike because I had been a salesman for him for 1 year and I did not have one sale. Okay, I'd been a salesman for 1 year and did not have one sale. And so he called me in and he says, "Here, I've got something for you and here it is." And he says, "Open it." So, you know, I was probably like Mike a little bit thinking, you know, I'm going to get fired. But I opened it up and I was looking at it and there was a check for $500. And I said, "What's this?" And he said, "This is a sales bonus." I said, "But Mr. Eisner, I haven't had a sale. I've been at 11 months. I haven't had a sale." He says, "I know, but I just felt I wanted to encourage you." And he said, "You're working hard. You're doing everything you can do. And I know it's discouraging. And I just wanted to bless you with this $500. Mm. And so I walked out of there and I was thinking, oh, cool. I can use this money for lots of things. And then I just in my heart, I was like, no. That money fulfills your faith promise. And I was like, wow, it totally fulfills it. I was driving home on 894, and I literally turned my car around and went back out to Elmbrook, and I walked into the church office, and I said, "I'm here to fulfill my faith promise." And I gave, and I just signed the back over, payable to Elmbrook Church, Brian Cluth, you know, $500. That was heart-giving. See, my mind couldn't get myself around that, but God gave me a number. There's been other times the Lord's given Sandy and I a number that's bigger than we've been able to mentally conceive, but the Lord's put it there, and then he's allowed us and led us to go ahead and do that. But just understand there's a difference, but I believe in the Christian life, if you're going to live a generous life, you need to have both things going on. You need to have a systematic plan to give a proportion of your income, but you always need to be living open-handed and ready to share in other ways. So those are the two things I wanted to just kind of add, kind of icing on the cake to things that I've learned in this life journey to want to live more generously. With those things said, what I'd like to do is I'd like us to break in groups of 3, 4, 5, whatever seems to be a natural grouping, and we're going to take about 5 minutes and each share to say, well, here's one takeaway. Here's one smooth stone that really could slay a giant in my life and share that with others. And if you don't have one, just say, you know, I'm just go ahead and pass. So you don't feel forced to say something. But if you really got something, if you'll take a moment and just share that, okay? And by the way, where this idea comes from, my wife and I, when we were first up here at Fort Wilderness, we wanted to do devotions together. And we would read a section of the Bible. And I would share with my wife all these things I saw. And then I would say, what did you see? And she would share one little thing. And she, after a while, said, you know, I don't like this. She says, this isn't fun. You know, you have all these things you got from the scripture, and I feel like a spiritual pygmy sometimes. So we just said, okay, the rule is we each share one thing. And we've been doing that for 25 years. We have devotions as we go to sleep at night. We have a one-year Bible. We read through the Psalms and Proverbs section. She reads one night. She reads that section. I read the next night. And we say, we each then pray about one thought, one phrase that kind of stood out to us, and we go to sleep. And we've been doing that for 25 years. But that idea of trying to crystallize, what's the one takeaway, the one thing, it really helps you bring focus to your spiritual life and energies.